begin. Look, where's the mayor? Oh, collecting votes. Yes. He looks more. See, look, he's in more pictures than that guy over there. See, look, he's. Yeah, see, look, he's in more. Where? Okay. Where is he? Still eating? Oh, okay. He's the mayor of Waipahu. Look at him. Look, yeah, see, look, that's the politician's pose compared to that. Look, yeah, the mayor. Okay. Well, hey, we want to thank all of you that came to the celebration banquet. Had a great time. Thanks, everyone who especially put work in there, Donna and Tony and others who put in a lot of work to make it a success. So, yeah, thank you very much. Okay, let's go through some examples of bias in the media, all right? So, for example, global warming, okay, global warming. Now, here's one where we're only given one side of the story, all right? If you're challenged the whole theory of global warming, what are you called? You're called anti-environmentalist or tool of big tobacco companies. You know, immediately you're shut down, right? We never get to hear the other side. You have to go on conservative talk radio or something, or the internet, to hear the other side, all right? Global warming. Most temperatures reveal a warming trend, but the Earth goes through warming and cooling cycles, right? I mean, Greenland was once green, right? So it goes through warming and cooling cycles. What causes that, we're not sure of. Solar activity, you know, the sun, solar flare, whatever. The way the Earth moves around the sun. There's all kinds of factors. Whether man creates it or not, we're not sure, right? Most of the warming trends are taken from ground stations, right? And most of your ground stations are in urban areas, like airports. So, of course, it's going to be warmer as a city urbanized. But the satellite readings and the readings from air balloons have stayed the same. And you notice they don't use the term global warming anymore. It's called what? Climate change. Because in many places, it's gotten colder. Okay? So the debate is out there, okay? But we don't hear both. Now, I'm not advocating one side or the other. I'm just saying you don't get to hear the other side, right? You don't get to hear the other side. It's immediately shut down, okay? So when you're hearing stuff on global warming, which you're not hearing much anymore, but when it was out there with Al Gore and everything, you're just hearing one side, okay? You never got to hear what the other side was saying. How about Islam? You never hear the teachings of Islam. The only thing you hear about Islam is what? It's a religion of tolerance and peace. And the person they're always quoting is Karen Armstrong, all right? Like she's some kind of world religion expert, all right? So here's Time Magazine on an article called The True Peaceful Face of Islam. written by Karen Armstrong. The term Islam means surrender, and it's related to the Arabic salam or peace. Wrong. What does Islam mean? Submission, not surrender. Oh, whatever. All right, when the prophet brought the inspired scripture known as the Quran to the Arabs in the 7th century AD, a major part of his mission was devoted precisely to bringing an end to the kind of mass slaughter we witness in New York City and Washington. Did they read the Battle of Khaybar? The Battle of Khaybar, they were a Jewish farming village. They had no weapons, and he went in and wiped out all the men. You know, I mean, he states in his biography, right? We waited until sunrise, and then we attacked the men as they came out with their pickets and shovels, and we slaughtered over 100 of them, right? Then he took Safiya and who's the leader, and tortured him by burning coals on his chest all day. And then because he wanted to know where gold was, and Safiya didn't have any. And then he chopped off his head at the end of the day and saw his wife, Kinana, and saw that she was a beautiful Jewish woman, and he raped her all night long, okay? But that's what he came to bring an end to. No, some of the things the guy instigated, man. The Battle of Uhud, the Battle of Badr. He made a living attacking caravans, you know? Where is she getting her information from? The prophet had to fight a deadly war in order to survive. But as soon as he felt his people were probably safe, he devoted his attention to building up peaceful coalition of tribes and achieve victory by the ingenious, inspiring campaign of nonviolence. When he died in 632, he had almost single-handedly brought peace to war-torn Arabia. What history book is she reading? The greatest Christian civilizations were where? North Africa, right? Alexandria was the premier center of Christian learning. Antioch was another premier center of Christian learning and mission sending. Constantinople was the capital of the Christian empire. All those areas, churches were burned, Christians were slaughtered, and Christians wiped out of those areas. Okay? I don't know what history book she's looking at, okay? Has she even read the Quran? What does the Quran say in how to treat unbelievers? Fight and slay the pagans wherever you find them. Seize them, beleaguer them, lie in wait for them in every stratagem. Fight those who believe not in Allah, nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which hath been forbidden by Allah and his prophet, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, even if they are Jews and Christians, right? Until they pay the unbelievers' tax and with willing submission feel themselves subdued. So unbelievers, you either kill them, they convert, or they live as second-class citizens, paying the heavy, heavy unbelievers the jizya tax, okay? When your Lord inspired to the angels, I am with you, so strengthen those who have believed. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. So strike them upon their necks and strike from them every fingertip. Okay, so why does ISIS saw off the head of unbelievers? Well, that's what the Quran commands you to do, all right? And that's what Muhammad did, okay? Look at what he did to his enemies, all right? When you meet unbelievers, smite their necks. Then when you have made wide slaughter among them, tie fast the bonds, then set them free, either by grace or ransom, till the war lays down its load. And those who are slain in the way of Allah, he will not send their works astray. He will guide them and dispose their minds all right, and he will admit them to paradise that he has made known to them. You want to get to Islamic heaven and your 70 virgins? Go to war. Okay, go to war. All right. Here's all the wars that Muhammad fought in. This does not include all the caravan raids. All right, I think so. Okay, but you never hear this stuff, right? You never hear this stuff. All you hear is we're a peaceful religion. Islam means peace. Islam means peace. Okay, you never hear. What kind of guy was Muhammad? How did he make a living? How many wars did the guy fight in? You never hear all this stuff. Okay, all you hear is it's a peaceful, kind, tolerant religion. Right? You never get to hear the other side, unless you're listening to Evidence and Answers. Or, hold on. Okay. Homosexuality. Okay? We're taught what? If you speak out against homosexuality, what are you? Bigot, racist, homophobe, and you're immediately shut down. Okay? Believe me, go on radio and oppose it. Look at all the threats you're gonna get the next day. Okay? Yet, we never hear the other side that this is a very dangerous, dangerous kind of lifestyle. All right? I mean, you can argue this medically alone and win the debate. Right? The Bell and Weinberg study, most extensive study found on the gay lifestyle, 43% of white male homosexuals had 500 partners. Okay? 28%, 1,000. The Dutch study of partnered, committed homosexuals, published in the Journal of AIDS, found that men with a steady partner had an average of 8 sexual partners a year. The New England Journal of Medicine revealed that the average gay man has over 100 partners in a year. Okay. Journal of Sex Research, model range of sexual partners was 1 to 500, all right? And that 10 to 15% had over 500 to 1,000 partners. Okay. There's no such thing as monogamy in the gay lifestyles. There's no such thing, okay? This whole idea that, yeah, I'll have one committed partner for the rest of my life if you legalize gay marriage is a myth. Even married gay couples have multiple partners. The Handbook of Family Diversity reported a study in which many self-described monogamous couples reported an average of 3 to 5 partners, okay, in a year. The International Journal of Epidemiology, okay, the human body is not made for homosexual activity, okay? I mean, you know, if you want to be frank, the colon is a one-way street. Things go out. It's not meant to take things in. You completely destroy that part of your body with homosexual activity. That's why their life expectancy is much shorter, okay? Family Research Institute, that they die in their 40s. Most of my gay friends have died, okay? Most of them have, all right? okay, so with that high level of promiscuity, with that kind of physical punishment that the human body, that's why it's a dangerous lifestyle. But you never hear that in the news, right? You never hear that. The only people they interview are these hate-filled Christians, you know, who say, you know, gays go to hell, God hates gays. That's the kind of people they're interviewing. We interview these medical doctors here and what they have to say, you know. The Bell and Weinberg study, there's just a ton you can interview. You don't hear that, though, right? You don't hear the other side unless you're listening to, you know, Evidence and Answers. I remember I got a lot of hate mail, and then I got like 3 or 4 emails saying, we have never heard anyone put those stats on their radio show. Never. Okay, we've never heard anyone do that. Okay, but, and I was interviewing a guy in the medical field. That's where I got these from. I wasn't, you know, and stuff. Okay, here's one. Here's another one. Look at the terms that are used, okay? Terms and the way the story is skewered, okay? So the first two is leaving out information, okay? Or cherry picking, we call. This one is skewering the facts, all right? The Washington Times reported Trump's Muslim ban promises evidence against a greater executive order. CNN, Donald Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representative can figure out what is going on. All right, so shutdown of all Muslims, okay? And of course, we were the first state to sue over the Muslim ban, the Muslim travel ban. Okay, what was the true story on that? Was it a Muslim travel ban? No, what was it? Yeah, seven countries, okay, that have declared war on the United States. Okay, and that ban was introduced to us by who? Yeah, Obama. Okay, not Trump. None of those facts are everything. Hey, Trump Muslim ban. Trump wants to ban all Muslims. We're going to war against Islam. Well, if it was a Muslim ban, right, there are about 50 Muslim countries, he would have banned all countries, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, right? But instead, it was just these countries that have declared war on the U.S., okay? Now, remember, when we were at war with Japan, we didn't allow Japanese to immigrate during the war, okay? Kind of thing. So, and these countries' governments are pretty much gone. So they have no way to vet those who are going in and out of their countries, okay? So we don't know who these guys are coming in, all right? All right, this one. Trump calls media an enemy of the people. White House bars many news outlets from briefing, okay? Therefore, Trump is against freedom of the press. He is against the First Amendment, right? And all the commentators were saying, this man is a communist. Or, no, not a communist. He's a dictator. What he wants is a totalitarian dictatorship because he does not want the press. He called the media the enemy of the people. All right? This is omitting. Okay? Omitting keywords. In this case, a keyword. What did Trump actually say? Huh? Yeah. Here's his original tweet. The fake news media is the enemy of the American people. Okay? So he was going after the liberal news media. Okay? Not all the news media. Okay? So you take out that one word, and it looks like you got an authoritarian dictator here, right? Although he acts like that sometimes. this is what he was going after, okay? The liberal news media, all right? Here's another one. Trump admin set stage for mass deportations, okay? The immigration policy where they thought he was going to be separating children from parents and thousands and tens of thousands, right? Here in Hawaii, what was going on? People were saying, oh, I don't want to go to Japan. I might not be able to come back to the country, you know? And so and I'm talking to Filipinos. We go, I don't want to go back to the Philippines. I may not be able to come. I'm like, what? Where are you getting your information? What's going on here? Then I started watching the news and said, okay, I see where you guys are coming from, okay? Okay, but the immigration policy, the ICE agents deported in February of when Trump started, ICE agents deported 680 undocumented aliens. 75% had convictions, including homicide, rape, while others were associating with criminals. Okay, so those are the ones that he was deporting, okay? CNN Senator Kevin DeLeon said, what took place yesterday with raids and personal homes is part of the cog of the Trump deportation machine. Okay, Paul Reyes, how inhumane this is to be breaking down people's doors and separating parents from their children. Okay, okay. And if you read the report, they never ask anyone from the Trump side their side of the story, okay? Well, if you were listening to talk radio, in 2013, the Obama administration removed over 400,000 illegal aliens, okay? And Obama said, what should be doing is setting up a smart legal immigration system that doesn't separate families but does focus on making sure that people who are dangerous, you know, people who are gangbangers and criminals, that we are deporting them as quickly as possible. Well, isn't that what Trump was trying to do? Okay. So Obama has deported way more people than any other president. Okay. All right, so those are some ways you see bias in the media. Main thing you got to remember is Proverbs 18, okay? The principle of cross-examination. When it comes to news commentary, what we do on 808 State Update, we're coming from the conservative side, okay? Because we're news, we're not reporting the news. We comment on the news. And we're unashamedly coming from a Christian, conservative perspective when we're commenting on the news. But if I were a news reporter, I would have to try to put that all aside and just try and report the facts as best as I can possible, instead of just having, you know, a conservative come in as my guest. I should have a liberal and a conservative come in and let them duke it out on my show. But because we're a news commentary, okay, that's what we comment on the news that's out there, okay? But if I were a news reporter, I'd have to be as fair and objective as I could. That's the thing you got to see, okay? Are both sides being presented? Okay, is cross-examination going on? So what Fox did is one of the reasons, you know, they shot up, right? Because their theme is what? Fair and balanced, right? We report, you decide. And they were one of the first stations to bring on both sides, right? And let them kind of go at it on their news station. Now CNN and everyone else is doing that as well, okay? But Fox is one of the first where they would try to bring in two equally qualified people, okay, and let them exchange their ideas on their show, all right? Then there's photos and captions, okay? Unfortunately, I haven't updated this talk, so it's mostly coming from the elections, okay? So I don't mean to sound too pro-Trump here, but that is some of our best examples. Okay, bias can be seen in photos and captions. Now, I went through Time Magazine, and I looked at all of their, and you can do it too, Google all the photos of Time Magazine on Donald Trump, okay? And what does it look like? Looks like Hitler or something, right? And then look at this video. Deal with it. Man, who'd wanna sit down and talk to that guy? Ew. Okay. Now when it came to the other candidate, what did the pictures of her look like? Wow, look at that. What a kind, the fighter. Does that look like a fighter? Huh? Man, it looks like a pleasant, kind, cheerful one. That looks like a fighter, you know. But this one, the fighter, and look at it. Yeah. But so you can see through captions and all that what was going on. It was pretty clear, okay, bias in the media, all right? So what are some principles as we practice discernment in the media? Well, first of all, I'm supposed to get a photo. Okay. Make like you're paying attention. Okay. All right, good. Yeah, especially the guys in the back row there. Yeah. Okay. Okay. First, be aware of media bias, okay? Media reporting has changed over the years, okay? So be aware there is bias. The answer is not just to watch Fox News, okay? I mean, Fox has a bias the other way too. And there are times Fox hasn't been accurate or didn't report on some things that they should have, okay? So the answer is not just to watch Fox, okay? But be aware that there is bias in the media today. Second, check the source, okay? Check the source, all right? Facebook is not the greatest place to get your news from. Okay, there are sources like The Onion, all right? The Onion, they're clearly a fake news site, right? And when you go to their website, they tell you, we're just here to report fake news. That's what we're all about, okay? So I remember when I first was introduced to them, you know, they said Sylvester Stallone had died. And I was like, oh, man, well, Rocky died. Oh, I was moping around all day. And it was like, no, it's from The Onion, man. I was like, oh, okay, all right. So check the source. Check the source, okay? This source leans left. This source leans right, This source tries to be fair. You know, check your source. Check the techniques, okay, of bias reporting, language, okay? Is it just one side being reported, okay? What you're going to have to do now is get information from multiple sources, okay? The answer is not just watch Fox News, okay? I mean, you got to watch CNN, Fox. You got to go on the internet, follow up with these things. Talk radio, okay? And listen to what's going on, okay? And get the different perspectives here, okay? Then you got to use your judgment to decide who's got the most reliable information here, all right? And then sometimes you have to just wait and see what develops. Okay, and here's some questions you should be asking while listening to the news media. Are the conclusions reasonable? Does it match the facts? Okay, what are the sources? Does it consider all the evidence? What kind of evidence is being presented? Okay, are there different perspectives? Okay, and is it consistent with biblical teaching? All right. I remember watching the Trump rallies, and there were tens of thousands of people. No, we hadn't seen political rallies like tens of thousands of people attending. And they said, this guy's losing by double digits, you know, and but yet you're looking at his rallies going, wow, they are totally huge. Stadiums are overflowing. But yet they're saying this guy's losing by 12% in Missouri, 14% in North Carolina. You know, and you're just going, So it just didn't seem to match up. It was like, I don't know. Something's not matching up here. There's, you know, so then I went to other sites that said, no, it's a dead heat. It's a dead heat. And he said, it's a dead heat. It's close. And then you just kind of had to wait for, you know, election night and see what rolled out. Sometimes, you know, that's what you got to do. So you need to check multiple sources, okay? And eventually you start learning what sources, you know, are pretty objective and dependable. You got to match up the facts and then use your best judgment possible to discern, you know, truth from error there, okay? So when you're seeing ISIS, you know, when ISIS was first coming out, ISIS has nothing to do with Islam. They have nothing to do with Islam. This is a terrorist organization. They have nothing to do with Islam. But yet, you know, we're watching the news and they're quoting the Quran everywhere. You know, it's like it says nothing to do with Islam. And they're interviewing, you know, imams from, you know, New York or whatever, saying, oh, yeah, nothing to do with Islam. Absolutely nothing to do with Islam. But, you know, when you go to talk radio, like Evidence and Answers, and then you're hearing the Muslim experts come out and say, this is exactly what the Quran teaches. If you do what the Quran says, you get ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Wahhabi. This is what you get. And if you study the life of Muhammad, ISIS doesn't come close to what Muhammad did. They don't come close to what Muhammad used to do. All right? So now you got to say, okay, conservative radio is saying this, news is saying this. Is ISIS a religious thing? Does it have to do with Islam? And you're going to have to make your best decision there. Okay. All right. Any questions on practicing discernment in the media? Yes. Jihad is military war. It's military war. That's the way it's been interpreted for 1,400 years. Now, if you interview an imam like the guy at Manoa, he will say, no, jihad means struggle. So spiritual struggle, my struggle to live in obedience, just like you Christians, right? Paul talked about spiritual warfare. That's what jihad is. Or my struggle for justice and peace in the world. That's jihad. No. Read these passages in the Quran, you know. Read it for yourself, okay? Does that sound like a peaceful struggle for justice, social justice, and peace? Or does it sound like a military war? Well, study the life of Muhammad. Did he have peaceful struggles like Martin Luther King for equality and justice? Peaceful marches? No. Look at that guy fought in over 30. These are major wars now. I'm not talking about hundreds of other. Guy fought in over 30 wars. Okay. What did the top Muslim experts say, like Bernard Lewis? Okay. He is a Princeton professor, the top guy in Islam now. Why don't they interview? Why are they interviewing Karen Armstrong? She's not no religion. Go interview Bernard Lewis. Bernard Lewis will tell you for 1,400 years, jihad is a military war. Okay. In recent times, they've expanded the definition to mean political battle or spiritual struggle. But for 1,400 years, it has meant a military war. So, yeah. But there's a good example, right? The only people they'll interview are the guys who won't be honest with you and stuff. Yeah. Hey, any others? Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, haven't the people in power said, maybe they would never say, but haven't the people in power said, don't they actually want to have news that has integrity? In which case, shouldn't we have a mechanism that at least oversees that? So, I understand that there's three groups, the Freedom of the Press Foundation, the ACL.
Well, now that's a good question. That is a great question. I would say overall that they try to, but there's a lot of things in play here. You know, you've got monetary issues, you've got political, you know, influence and persuasion. You've got the personal bias of, you know, those who are reporting and are in charge. So there's a lot at play. One of the things about, so it looks like the best check and balance system is going to be the audience. The audience is going to say, we're tired of this bias. We're going to stop watching these news outlets and we're going to watch this. Okay, that seems like one of the best ways, check and balance now. But one thing to understand about liberals and stuff, they don't mean, they honestly think that their ideology is going to give us a better America. They honestly think that. Okay, just like we Christians, we think our theology and values is true, and it is, okay? But we think that, you know, our theology and our values and all that, that's going to bring a better world, and it will, okay? But liberals, remember, are just as passionate at us in their particular ideology as well. So they're not necessarily out there to just get us mad. They really think their ideology is right and going to make a better America and a better world, and they are passionate. They are passionate about it. So, although there's monetary things involved and all that, they're willing, because they believe so much in their message, I think that's the biggest driving force out there. They really think that it's their ideology that's going to make for a better America and a better world. And remember, Christianity is no longer just wrong. Christianity is dangerous. Okay, it's evil, it's dangerous, all right? That's how we're viewed now. So, you know, you got all that coming into play. That's why they may be, that's why I think it, there's such a polar, not necessarily extremes, but polar positions when it comes to news media. Yeah, we're no longer just wrong, we are. We are the bad guys now. We are the problem. We're the dangerous ones. Yeah. Okay. That's why the culture war is getting so much more intense. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Any others? Very good. Oh, yes, Daniel. Right. 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 So you're right on that. See, that's why socialism is so big in America again, right? That's why it's so big. Because socialism says what? Man is basically good. It's the environment, and that makes him what he is. So what did Marx say? Marx, taking God out of the picture, gave us an understanding of human nature without God. Right? So Marx was basically saying man is either good or just basically a blank slate. What makes him bad is the environment. So if we can get everybody equal, nobody makes more than anybody else. We all dress alike. We live the same. We make a classless society. We bring utopia to the world. And he had the wrong understanding of human nature, right? Biblical understanding of human nature is what? That we're sinful by nature. So even if you have a classless society, you're not going to have a utopia. And second of all, you know, the biblical principle, you know, from Timothy, right? A workman is worthy of his wages, right? That hard work, the way we're designed by God, hard work should be rewarded. So if I'm working 60 hours a week and pouring my funds and resources into my job, I should be rewarded for that likewise. Whereas if I'm putting 30 hours and not working very hard, well, I should be paid likewise. But, right, the reason communism fails is what? If I go and get my PhD and I work 60 hours as a nuclear physicist, I make the same as, you know, a guy who's cleaning the park for 30 hours a week. So why do I want to, you know, go to all that when I can make the same as a guy working in a park? You know, so he failed to understand human nature in government, and that's why he got the economic system he did. But that's why all the callers, well, now I'll call 75% of the callers to our 808 state update are all socialists. They're saying tax the rich more, get a classless society, give everyone free health care, you know, and, you know, you need to penalize big corporations. And they're thinking socialists. Well, that's Dewey's educational reforms. That's Marx's system of economics. And that's exactly what we're learning at the universities and the high schools. All the surveys will show you. A good one to look at is the Nehemiah Institute surveys. 90% of our young people come out of high school thinking like a socialist. And it gets even higher when you go to college. That's how come you get Barry Sanders and Obama. That's why those guys are so popular with the young people and stuff. So, yeah. So it's theology makes a huge, huge, ideas have consequences. Yeah, and you got the wrong theology, you're going to end up with some serious consequences. Yeah.
So, okay, I have a question.
So
yes. Media,
uh-huh.
I
think it's definitely coordinated, okay, at the, you know, amongst the universities, and because, I mean, look at the accreditation committees and how they're stacked, You know, try go through accreditation. Oh, man. Okay. And all that. And then you've got, you know, the political entity as well. Those of like mind, you know, work together and push their agenda and all of that. So I don't know if there's one mastermind behind all this. I think there's groups that work together and are putting it together. I don't know if there's one mastermind that's behind all this. I think there's many powerful entities at work trying to bring it together. Yeah. I'm not sure their agenda is to weaken the country. I think their agenda is to get their ideology through, which they think strengthens the country, but it doesn't. It weakens the country. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's the satanic, Satan, of course, is in charge of the ultimate source of these false ideas. Yeah, sure. I would say. A lot of it you can trace to Dewey's reforms in education. I think if you look at that, you'll see when, with his reforms, you'll see a complete transformation of our educational system there. And that stems, you know, you can trace it back to his embracing Darwin. Yeah. So with Darwin and his hijacking the sciences and bringing it under the naturalist worldview, then you see a lot of the other arenas following in that steps. Then comes Freud, giving us a new understanding of human nature. Marx giving us a new understanding of economics, right, and social structure. You got Wellhausen giving us a new understanding of theology and the Bible. I mean, you can just kind of see it going from there. So probably you can go way back to the Enlightenment thinkers with Kant's shift in philosophy, followed by Darwin, and then everything goes. So, yeah, anyways, we have a whole talk on that, on the flow of Western culture, how that ideas you talk about have some very serious consequences. Yeah. Okay. And that's, yes, one more, and then we'll bring it to an end. Yes. Why always attacking and criticizing Trump? I think that, well, first of all, he disagrees with their ideology. You know? Second of all, he was maybe the first guy to really go after the press the way he did, really take them on. He wasn't afraid of them. And I think what surprised them is that every presidential candidate that took on the press, you know, they destroyed. They just completely destroyed them. You know, you really saw it in Bush Sr., right? But here's a guy that took them on and, you know, called them out, fake news, and he won. And I think they see him as a huge threat to the dominance they once had. And now you're beginning to see the popularity of Fox News and alternative news sources. That's a threat to their ratings are way down. That's a threat to their industry that they had a complete monopoly and control on, you know, and now that that thing seems to be unraveling on them, that's, I think that's why they see him as that huge of a threat. So they'll be going after him for the next, whether it's 3 years or the next 7 years he's in office. You'll continue to see that. So, yeah. Yeah, he's a big threat to their monopoly. So it'll be very interesting to watch what develops. Yeah. So that's one of the good things I think came out of that. A lot of people, something we were saying for the last 10 years, bing, people finally said, we get it now, we get it. Okay. All right, let's close. Yes? $200, right. Yeah, listen to my radio show. It's called The Rise and Fall of Nations, yeah? And no empire lasts forever. Nations rise, nations fall. And yeah, you're right. The average empire lasts about 200 years. Certain ones like the British Empire last a lot longer. Others are shorter. America hit, you know, past the 200 mark. So, yeah. Romans chapter 1 outlines for you how nations rise and nations fall. Romans chapter 1, they turn away from God, who's the source of truth and morality. So when you turn away from God, who's the source of truth, then where do you get your truth from? Well, step 2, you embrace false ideas, right? They worship the creation rather than the creator. When you embrace false ideas, that leads to immoral lifestyle, right? Immorality. When you have high divorce rates, homosexuality, breakdown of the family, blah, blah, blah. Then step 4, the fall of a nation. So Paul outlined, and then go read all the historians, Toynbee, Black, Nelson. I mean, go read them all. All they do is expand what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Toynbee has 10 stages of decline, but he's pretty much following what Paul says. And Toynbee, I mean, if you look at Toynbee's 10 stages, America's stage 9. You know, a good book that came out was from our speaker at the Hawaii conference, at our Evidence and Answers conference, 2 years ago, Dr. Oz Guinness. He wrote the book, A Free People's Suicide, and that nations, empires are never conquered. They collapse from within. And he pretty much gives you the same breakdown of Paul, okay? But the ultimate problem is what? It's not political. It's not economic. It's not military. The ultimate problem is spiritual. So the answer to revive a nation is what? Spiritual revival. And America is unique. America has had 2 spiritual awakenings. 2. So what could reverse the trend for America is a spiritual awakening. That's the hope of a nation. So America has had 2 spiritual revivals, 2 spiritual awakenings. Are we in line for a third? Billy Graham, Oz Guinness, and others are very optimistic that they think in their lifetime, not ours, in their lifetime, you may see a third spiritual revival in America. What was interesting is that, I forgot which one of them said it. I forgot which one. They said the third spiritual revival. The first one was, was Edwards. Anyway, it was a repentance. The theme was repentance, turning from sin. The second one was being born again. They said the third one is going to be an apologetics-led revival. Isn't that interesting? And if you think about it, Who are the most popular speakers today? Ravi. He's an apologetics guy. Lee Strobel. He's an apologetics guy. You know, so you just go down and look at some of your top speakers in the top 10, and they're in the apologetics arena. So maybe he's right, you know, maybe he's right. Who knows? Who knows? So, yeah, nations rise, nations fall. Your ultimate problem is spiritual. The hope will be in spiritual revival. So if you trace all your problems, breakdown of the family and breakdown of morale, eventually you're going to trace it back to, you know, a false view of man, false view of government, false view. It's going to go right back to a spiritual, your spiritual source. So that's why the church, the Christians have to realize Christianity is not about my personal walk with Jesus. If that's all we're preaching, how to have a good walk with Jesus, we miss the boat. Christianity is an all-embracing worldview, you know, that addresses every arena of the culture. Does the Bible have a lot to say about government? You bet. Where did our founding fathers get their idea? The most quoted source, you know, if you ever do the History of America talk, well, David Barton has come, you know, you ever go to his, we do one here. The most quoted source by far is the Bible. Where did the founding fathers get their ideas from? Right from the Bible. And the guys they were looking at, Locke, all that. Locke said, of all books of morality, I know none other better than the four Gospels. I mean, even Locke and these guys were getting their principles from the Bible. So the Bible has a lot to say about it. Does the Bible have a lot to say about economics? You bet. You bet. Listen to our interview on Can the Just Succeed? You know, we're taught in school what? Well, if you want to succeed on Wall Street, you got to cut corners, you got to lie, you got to cheat, you got to steal. You don't apply biblical economic principles, your economy is going to collapse. Okay, it's going to completely collapse. Does the Bible have a lot to say about art? You bet it does. Does the Bible have a lot to say about environmental ethics? You bet it does. Now, how many sermons do you hear on that today? How many sermons do you hear on government? How many sermons do you hear on Christian environmentalism? How many sermons do you hear on science? How many sermons do you hear on art? How many sermons do you hear on economics? Well, you don't. What kind of sermons do you hear today? How to, you know, have a good walk with Jesus, you know. Which is great, okay, which is great. You need that. That's what we need. But if we're not teaching Christianity as a worldview, we completely miss the boat. And we're not going to be able to address the issues of the culture. And you cannot engage or transform the culture if you're not going to engage the ideas of the culture. That's why a class like this is so great. Because, you know, here's a church that is addressing the issues of the culture that we face. Yeah? And that's what Christians need to do. You got to engage the ideas of the culture. Yeah? If you want to transform the culture, you got to engage its ideas. Yeah? Okay, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for our time together and the things that we have learned and the way we can dialogue and exchange ideas as we study together. We pray that all that we learn would help us grow to engage and transform our culture and our world for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.